Wait. Wait.
What is that? Joao!
Wait.
What's in there? Why is a penguin in our home?
He needs our help.
What?
Yes. He was covered in oil and barely alive.
That's why the oil over my kitchen.
Yes.
The penguin cannot stay.
That's a clip from the charming and uplifting family film, My Penguin Friend. It was inspired by an amazing true story of a penguin named Dindim that swam more than 5,000 miles between Argentina and Brazil to visit his human friend, Joa, for 8 straight years. The great French actor Jean Renault stars as the grieving fisherman who discovers a penguin covered with spilled oil. Joa rescues Dindim, and after spending time with one another, it's safe to say that Dindim rescues him. David Sherman is the director of My Penguin Friend, and he just might be the perfect one for it. David spent a large part of his life living on and near the ocean in his native Brazil. He also spent his formative career years making documentary films about wildlife. Now he turns the tables, or the flippers, and has made a feature film with real-life penguins. He joins us now to talk about the film and how he was inspired by the real-life friendship.
The first time I heard about João and Dindim was when I was in Brazil. And, you know, this is a story that became very popular because it's almost like a myth. You know, this first, we don't get a lot of penguins in Brazil, only the ones that get lost. It's very tropical, especially where João lives. You know, I said, well, a penguin lives there? You know, what's going on? So then we figured out the story once he came out that the penguin used to come in winter, stay with him, and then go back to Patagonia. And it did that because João saved him. You know, the penguin was dying because he had, you know, oil all over his feathers. And João basically found him, you know, rolling on the waves by his beach and took him in.
Look at this oil on you. Yes. Yeah. No. Yes. You're doing well.
Didn't really know how to clean up and basically did what he could and saved the penguin's life. And then took him back to the ocean so that he could try to go back home. And the penguin didn't leave for a couple months. Stayed with him like a friend, like a, you know, walking in his house. Totally free, would go swimming with him until one day that the penguin did leave, you know, when the summer started coming and he left. And for 8 years in a row, he used to come every winter and spend at least 6 months with João, which is incredible. That's when I heard about the story. The story then went viral around the world. You know, somebody made a video about it and on YouTube and had, I don't know, 13 million views. This is like 5-6 years later, it just went viral. And that's when the world found out about it. And then a production company in the US found out about it and thought somebody had bought the rights, and nobody had bought the rights yet. And so they went out and bought it. And then, you know, one of those things, the coincidence of life, I was promoting a movie that I did, a Brazilian film that was based on my sister. And it was selected to represent Brazil at the Oscars on 2017. And that film, when it played in the US, people really liked it. And people said, well, you have a background in the ocean. We have a Brazilian story. And they put two and two together and invited me to direct a movie. That's how I got involved.
Very good. I'm so glad that happened. And I know everyone else who sees the film will feel the same way. Yeah, I'm sure you too. You spent nearly your entire childhood on the ocean. Yeah. How did that prepare you for telling this story visually?
My whole background is documentary making, be it nature and culture and adventures. So I was raised on a sailboat for a big part of my life, at least 6 years of my young childhood. And for me, being on the ocean and knowing the ocean and knowing, you know, the motions of the ocean and knowing the creatures of the ocean is second nature. So for me, being invited to do a film about connection of humans and the ocean, it was natural. Although this was a fiction film, I started doing fiction film in the last 4 years, 5 years of my life. That's when I got into fiction, maybe a little longer, 6 years. And I love it. You know, I love the shift from documentary to fiction back and forth because one, you control the story. The other one, the story controls you. You know, documentaries, you go with the flow. And I love doing fiction because then you have a little bit more control on the story and how it flows. In this case, working with animals, it was a little bit different because you also have to respect their flow. So I think it was a great school, the documentary, to be able to do a film like this.
That's great. Congratulations. No wonder the film is so powerful. The story opens with a tragedy, and you must know how this feels. You lost your sister tragically young. Did her loss help you shape that sequence in the film?
For sure. 100%. I saw my parents go through, you know, maybe not as long as João went through when he had his loss of his son. And the loss of the son on the real life is a little bit different than on the film. But obviously, you know, we fictionalize that part. I think that's what brings a truthfulness and authenticity to it, because I always go back in every movie I make, I go back and I bring from a real source on my life or somebody that I know. I always bring that truth because I think as a documentary filmmaker, I want to bring true feelings. I don't want to make feelings that are just, you know, out there. And I think we achieved that with this film. And João, when he lives that, I understood when I lost my sister when she was 14 and my parents went through that, you know, that moment of not believing that, you know, something like that could happen. And also the blaming, is it a blame? Could you do to have done something different? We, you know, people always try to find that. And you know, I always look and say it's destiny, it's the way it is. You know, we can't control the universe. And I brought that. And it was really hard in the beginning to convince the production company that something so painful would happen in the beginning of a movie for a family film. And I said, look, guys, what happens in the end when you watch the film or when you read the script? People are going, you know, we're in tears. We're crying, not sadness, but happy tears and emotional tears. And I said, the reason that happens is because you have these two weights that happen. You know, this happens on this journey of this man. And I think we should be true to that. So I really defended as an artist and as a director for that to be on the film, which a lot of people were going, no, that's so dangerous, you know? And I said, but this is film. This is art. We are meant to feel it. And I think the world today needs a little bit more of empathy. And we're talking about a guy who has rescued the penguin. That's an easy one. But the penguin rescuing this guy, that's something else. And I think that's what happens here on this movie. They rescue each other. And it's absolutely beautiful. And I loved it. And it's very true to the feeling of what I lived.
Very well said. I'm sorry, by the way, for the your family's loss of your sister. Thank you. Very sad. David, there's an old showbiz adage that you should never share the stage with kids or animals. I'm betting that goes double for penguins.
Well, kids, animals, and the ocean, you know. You know, when James Cameron did Titanic, everybody's saying, this is not going to work. You know, the ocean is terrible. Yes, it is something that we have to be careful. And I think that's where planning comes in. You know, you really have to plan as much as possible and have plan B, C, and D. It's very important to say that the penguins we use, the real penguins we use in this film, are penguins that cannot go back to the ocean. So they are rescue penguins that have either a problem in their wings or on their legs or on their backs. They cannot go back to the ocean, otherwise they'll die. So they live in an institute, in an aquarium, and we ask the aquarium, can we use them? Then we spoke to all the animal rights organizations in the U.S. and in Brazil, and we brought in a penguin whisperer, Fabian Gabelli. This guy, he looks like Gandalf. This guy is amazing. And he has a way with animals that I have never seen, a way of understanding them and watching them. And he helped us create a lot of the, how do we frame it? How do we respectfully get close to it? The whole protocol, when penguins come to set, we have a whole protocol that comes into you know, ocean. First thing is penguins only work until 3 p.m. And I said, great, you know, this is a really, really good rule. You know, I love that rule in my life. I only work until 3 and stop after that. But
yeah,
for penguins, what the reason they do that is because penguins start very early in the morning with the instinct of, you know, swimming out to the ocean and coming back midday. And then by 3 p.m., they are relaxed. So he said, you cut camera by 3 p.m. with penguins. So I had to tell Jean Reno and Adriana Barraza, you know, big Oscar, you know, nominated actors, that first the penguins. And I was pleasantly surprised because of Fabian Gabelli's work, of how he planned it. He gave us a dossier about 15 centimeters thick of procedures of what we had to do and how we had to work and how Jean Reno had to come 3 weeks beforehand to pre-production to be with the penguin, so the penguins would get used to his voice, to for him to know how to hold the penguin. The first time Jean Reno had an experience with a penguin, he held the penguin pecked him and drew blood.
Oh, dear.
And looked at him just like, what are you doing? Respect me. And Jean was so stunned. And he tells the story. It's absolutely beautiful. He says, okay, I'm going to respect you, man. I understand. And then, you know, we took the 3 weeks so they could get and create the bond.
One more. The last one.
It is very challenging, but if you plan it well and you do these steps, it's not one of those things, one of those films, you get there and start shooting. You got to plan it. And same thing with the ocean, you know, the ocean changes, the storms. So you got to get there. And kids, every film I've done, by coincidence, have some aspects of, you know, kids on board. And I've learned that kids, they are great. And the part of the casting is also the parents. You know, the parents have to be great with the kids. If they have a great relationship, then they come to the set and we are going to have a, you know, a really good time filming. And it's going to be like a game, you know, for kids. It can't be something serious and dramatic. It's going to be something that is like a game. So I've been very lucky in the way that I've been able to handle this with my crew that is very respectful. And the actors, you know, Jean Reno acting with kids. I mean, he's done an amazing film that's really put all of them on the map. And it's the first thing when they told me that I could get Jean Reno, I was thinking, oh my God, the professional, you know, Big Blue, this is amazing. And I can just see him looking at the penguin looking at him, and we can cut out 20 pages of the script because it's Jean Reno, you know? Mm-hmm. So once you get everybody behind the project, understanding what we're going to do and do a lot of planning, then it becomes a little easier. But it's always, always a challenge when you do kids, when you do animals, and when you do oceans.
Right. Yeah, for sure. I got to ask, what did Jean bring to this role?
Well, for me, first, it was a dream to work with Jean Reno. I've been a fan forever of his body of work, especially, you know, Big Blue, The Professional, Leon the Professional. I mean, it's just amazing what he can bring without having to say words. And here is a penguin, for you to understand, does not have facial expressions, right? They're almost like a chicken. They blink. That's it. Their whole expression is on their necks and bodies. So I mapped out 21 expressions with their bodies that the penguins would do and talked to Jean, you know, when the penguin does this, we have the scene. Can we, you know, have an interaction? And it's a lot to ask. I know that actors are more and more used to doing that nowadays because they have to deal with digital, you know, built up stuff that they, you know, it's not something real. The penguin helped. He was really there. But the reaction that I wanted, you know, from Jean, and Jean was absolutely, totally giving and very generous in understanding it. So he understood the pain of this man. And it was really interesting because he was in character for a big part of the movie in that pain. It was really interesting. He'd come to set, he would be reserved, he'd be on his own, and feeling that pain, and then the bird slowly bringing him in out of that rut that he was for such a long time. But the interesting thing is, when I found out that we had the opportunity to have Jean on the film, I flew to his summer house in the south of France, and with a script on the hand that I had taken 20 pages out of dialogue and blabber, because I said, this is Jean Reno. I don't need him speaking. He can do it all. He's in that level of an actor that he can just look at this penguin, and we get his pain. We get what is, you know, what he's looking at. We get what he's feeling. So I handed the script, pitched him the story. He said, look, I like it. Let me read the script. But I really enjoyed it. And I think he enjoyed what I wanted to do. It's not just a family film. It's a family film with a lot of depth. And once he read it, he said, oh, look, I'm on board and let's do it. And he brought that. He worked beautifully with Adriana Barraza, opposites. And you can see them. They're very much in the opposites in the beginning of the movie, and how the penguin rescues that relationship as it flows on until you get to the point where, yeah, they mend.
Is he your pet?
Not my pet. He's my friend.
He chooses to be with Jean.
With us. He chooses to be with us.
Actors at that level, they're so brilliant to work with because they bring everything. Every time I have to direct something with Jean, it's very, very small and precise. I say, Jean, could we just try this way? And he goes, I'll give you a present. And he'll go out and do the scene again. And it's unbelievable. It's like the adjustment is so precise and it's very little. You know, you don't need to do anything or tell him any big story because he gets it. He gets it from the page, from the script. It's amazing.
I was picking up on some Spielbergian notes during your film, some E.T. vibes for sure.
Yes.
What films or directors were your inspiration for My Penguin Friend?
Being very humble, E.T. was definitely one of them because it was an alien coming into somebody's life. And then on that case was a young boy with this alien. Here, the alien is the penguin. And obviously Jean Reno being the boy, it's a different dynamic, but it was very inspiring. I looked at that movie and I said, wow, this is, and I loved that movie. I watched it when I was a kid and I said, this is an inspiration. It's very similar. I looked at that. Obviously, I look at The Professional when Jean Reno was acting with Natalie Portman, with a young Natalie Portman, the way he looked at her, the way that he was caring for her. So I brought all these different, movies into my repertoire of references to be able to tell this story. But you nailed it in the head. That's the first movie that I thought about. It is like, could we, somehow look at this as an E.T. experience,
Mm-hmm. David Sherman, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on My Penguin Friend. It is a wonderful, poignant film.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
David Sherman is the director of the family film My Penguin Friend. Find out more about David and his flightless friends at wpr.org/beta.
Barry Gordy was very much a visionary, and I think his vision was to create something sophisticated. He wanted to make Black artists look sophisticated to the world.
Coming up, award-winning music writer Aaron Osman joins us to talk about the music of the Midwest. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.